8 this morning, and then I'm going to read a couple of places in the book of Mark. Let's read together. You can just read along and always reverence God's word. I won't have you to stand, but you should always reverence God's word this morning. The Bible says this, verse 8, "And I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. And I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not," the Bible says here, "be ye not as the horse or as the mule which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord," verse 11, "and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart." I want you to notice in verse 8, church, this morning, where the Bible says, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go." I want to preach this morning on a simple thought, but it is a profound subject that I will not be able to get across to you to its fullest extent. But I want you, if nothing else, as a congregation, and as you go out this week into whatever you're doing, I want you to have the thought in your heart and in your mind from the Word of God on this thought today. This will be the title of the message, and that is hearing the voice of God. Hearing the voice of God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you. I thank you for this blessed opportunity. I realize, Lord, that unless you bless, unless you move, it'll be for naught. I pray, dear God, that you'd hide this finite mind and stammering tongue and sinful flesh behind the glorious message of the cross. I do not want to be a polished orator, but today, Lord, I want to ask that you would bless with an unction that can only come from you. I pray you'd bless your word and you'd apply your word to our hearts and to our lives. I pray for our congregation today that we would live a little closer to you and for you, having been in this service. We pray for those who cannot be here, who are sick and hurt and afflicted, and many across this room know someone that needs prayer. But Lord, those who have gathered now, pray you'd encourage them, pray you'd help them. I pray you'd save some dear soul today that realize their need of salvation and get saved before it's too late. We ask that you'd bless, reclaim the backslider, that you'd bless the saint that wants to walk with you. And whatever needs to be said and done, I pray today, God, it'd be done for your honor and for your glory. And we ask these things now in Jesus' name and amen. And all of God's people said, hearing the voice of God. I'm going to read a couple more verses in the book of Mark chapter 4. And quite honestly, I could read several places in the Word of God. You could go home this afternoon and get you a concordance or maybe a computer program, however you study your Bible, and I encourage you to study your Bible, and you could look up voice or voice of God, and you would have yourself a pretty long study. And I know that because when the Lord put on my heart to preach this, I have been studying way more than I anticipated for this message. I did not understand to what extent this was throughout Scripture. And I want to read another passage here, and of course, in chapter 4 of Mark, verse 1 through 3, our Savior is talking, of course, in Mark 4, but the Bible says, "And he began to teach by the seaside," talking about Jesus, "and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things," the Bible says, "in parables, and said unto them, in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured up." And he goes through now, and the Bible, the rest of that scripture talks about the parable of the sower. And then if you drop down into verses 23 and 24, the Bible says this, "If any man have ears to hear," this is our Savior, "let him," everybody remember, "hear." He said unto them, "Take heed what ye hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall be more given. And then Mark chapter 7, and again, like I said, we could go through a lot of scripture today. But Mark chapter 7 and verse 14, I'll read another brief text. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, "Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand." Now, I'll stop there, and I encourage you to read all the cross references and read the verses before and after and surrounding. But in these passages of the scripture, and we go back to our main text where the Bible says, our Lord is saying through his word, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that which thou shalt go." And then Jesus in his public ministry says, "Hearken unto me." And we see it all the way through the word of God. We see that the Lord is saying through his word, "Listen to me. Listen to what I'm saying to you." In fact, that's what the word of God is God's voice to us. And hearing the voice of God. Now, there's certain voices in our lives that we like to hear. You may love to hear maybe a certain person's singing voice. You may love to hear the voice of a loved one. I love to hear my wife's voice when I talk to her on the phone, or my children, or the giggle of a child. You may, when I say voice this morning, most of us understand. The being able to speak and to understand is the highest attainment of human ability. There's no animals that can speak, despite what YouTube may say. But hearing the voice of God, listening to what God is saying, can you imagine hearing the voice of God? Can you imagine actually hearing God speak? Well, I want to give you just three thoughts today, because I hear a lot of this. I hear a lot of preachers talking about this. I see Christians saying this, and I really just want to look at three things. I want to talk to you this morning about what it is not. I want to talk to you about what it is, and then why is it so important? The voice of God. You hear this a lot. You say, "Well, God's speaking." I hear a lot of different stories, and I want to start out by saying, first of all, what it is not. Let me say this in case you get ready to fall asleep or to tune out. I want you to get this, because a lot of people are saying that God spoke to them or that they heard the voice of God. Let me make this very clear. The voice of God is not some mystical, mysterious, hanging out in the ether of the universe and that only a few people can hear, or that's going to come to you in a dream, or that's going to, you know, see you at the foot of your bed, or some ghost story, some horror movie. That is not the voice of God. That is not the way that God works. I hear this and see this way too much. And I even hear preachers saying, "God led me," or "God spoke to me." And people say, "You know, the Lord spoke to me." And I said, whoa, wait a minute. You're making a big statement according to the word of God. We understand this morning what it is not. In my studies, I came across several things. And we see here, if you read the word of God, you'll see that many times God's own people, there was prophets who were not what they were supposed to be. There were people who were not what they were supposed to be that were preaching and teaching. And the Bible tells us about it. I want to read a statement that I come across about this. There is a tragic misunderstanding in the church about hearing God's voice. The most common phrase heard in religious circles today is, "God told me." Many so-called prophets begin their words with, "Thus saith the Lord." Paul warns there are many voices clamoring to be heard. In 1 Corinthians 14:10, the Bible talks about being many voices in the world. In our hearts, there are voices crying out, all of them pretending to be the very voice of God. If you trust any of these voices without trying them all by God's word, you will be led astray. There is the voice of our flesh. There is the voice of our stubborn will. The voice of the enemy. The voice of the world. Now, listen to this statement now. All of them are sweet, gentle, and promising you, "This is God speaking." Let me tell you this morning, church, this is not accurate. Do not listen to the voice that's in your head or the voice that somebody is saying. Listen to the voice of God. I'd like for you to take your Bible real quickly and turn to the book of Ezekiel, if you would. Ezekiel chapter 13. Ezekiel chapter 13. This prophet of God is speaking. And I want you to hear what the Word of God says. And I want you to understand what it's saying right here. Because this is what it is not this morning. We've got to be very careful that we say, oh man, God told me and the voice of God is leading me. The voice of God will never lead you to where God's Word has not clearly guided you. I want to read this in Ezekiel chapter 13. It says, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto you, unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the deserts. Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the heads for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. They have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, the Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them. And they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. Have ye not seen a vain vision? And have ye not spoken a lying divination? Whereas ye say, the Lord saith that, albeit I have not spoken. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, because ye have spoken vanity and seen lies, therefore behold, I am against you, saith the Lord God. You say, but that's what's that got to do with us? Understand what's going on there in the context, and I won't get into all of that, but what was happening was, is there was folks that were saying that they were getting a word from God, and God is using his real prophet to say that is absolutely not true. Just because they're behind the pulpit, just because they're on television, just because they have a name, does not mean that they are preaching the word of God. That does not mean that everybody says that they have a voice from God or a vision from God or a statement from God, that it's really from God. That is not the voice of God. You read the scriptures, you see it. The nation of Israel being led astray by the prophets. In fact, they would want to take a penknife and cut some of it out. Jeremiah was hated because Jeremiah preached the truth and they didn't want to hear Jeremiah. In fact, Jesus said, if you would have believed God, you'd have believed me. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. They didn't want to hear about Jesus Christ. They didn't want to hear what the Word of God said. And today we're living in an age where people will say, the voice of God. Man, I've heard the voice of God and God spoke to my heart. Be very careful. Make sure that it's really what God wants for your life. Make sure it's the voice of God. That's number one, what it's not. Number two, okay, Brother Dastin, what is it? You may be a little confused. In fact, as I studied the scriptures and got a little bit more into it, I said, wait a minute. What is the voice of God then? You know, sometimes you might be led. You might have an impression upon your heart. How does it work? How does the voice of God work? Or you may see someone that you have trust in and confidence in. You say, wait a minute. Well, that's the voice of God. I've heard this. I've heard God speak to my heart about this. What is the voice of God? Let me give you a few thoughts this morning on what it is. And I won't keep you real long on this, but I think it needs to be said. When we think about what the voice of God is, it's very important. God speaks to us. Let me say this. His primary way of speaking to us is through his word. I'm going to preach to you what a very famous preacher who would not believe exactly the way we would do. He'd even be softer on the scriptures than I would be, but he wrote this. The Bible's not just an old book, but the inerrant, authoritative word of God and the only source of truth. When we read it, we're hearing directly from the Lord. All other methods of listening to God must be checked and compared with scripture to determine if we are accurately hearing him. Now hear that clearly, church. I think there's a lot of folks in... And look, I'm a hillbilly, and I'm from West Virginia, and I'm not ashamed of that. Amen. But we almost have a mountain mysticism where you say, well, I don't feel. We have all these feelings. Be careful of your feelings. Feelings will deceive you. There's people that can really play on your feelings and play on your emotions, and I'm easily led with emotion. Myself, I understand emotion. You tell me a sad story, and I'm ready to cry or fight. You tell me something ready to get fired up, I'm ready to get fired up. You tell me something sad, I'll cry. And I'm easily led with emotion. We got to be very careful though, that we base everything that we see and everything we hear about the voice of God and the movement of God upon God's Word. Here's what we hear a lot. You may have even said this. I know what God says, but be careful with that. You know that's dangerous if you say, I know what God says, but. I know what they're saying down at that church. Listen, don't make the mistake of saying, Brother Dallas says, you better make sure that you say what the Word of God says. Don't think, well, you know, I know what that preacher says out there. Listen, if I'm saying it, friend, don't take any stock. But if I'm preaching what God's Word says, you better take stock in God's Word. It's always got to be. Now, that's not to say that God doesn't use things in your life, but it's always tempered by and related to and sifted by the Word of God. He speaks to us through prayer. We know that we pray, we converse with God, we seek His face. The Bible clearly shows us in the Scriptures that He speaks to us through prayer, that we can talk to God, and that God lays upon our hearts things in prayer and in seasons of prayer. We see that our Savior prayed. The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. The Lord may speak to us through circumstances. He may put you in situations to get your attention. We see that clearly taught in Scripture, that there are situations that arise in your life and God will impress upon your heart, and it always will go right back to His Word, but He'll use circumstances. He speaks to us sometimes through other people. God will bring people into your lives, and we see that also taught in Scripture, that the Lord will use a person or the situation with that person, and the Lord will use that. We missionaries and Sunday school teachers, and God uses the singing. I was blessed this morning hearing the singing from about the blood, and Sister Tammy said, minister to my heart. And we know that God will use another person. Now, how do we identify God's voice? Let me give you things real quickly. God's voice is always consistent with His Word. I remember several years ago, and there was a young man, and he was from West Virginia. I went to South Carolina. I was a youth pastor. He was out on soul winning visitation. We went to his house, and he was from West Virginia. And like all of us, he was crazy as a June bug. Amen. In fact, we had a nickname for him. He ends up getting saved, coming to our church, and we called him Live Wire because he was like a live wire with no insulation. Any of y'all electricians know what I'm talking about? That's just kind of his personality. And I remember being there at his house. He had a little child, and him and his wife were young and just getting started, and he was talking about, you know, being a Christian. He said, well, I said, if I want to steal something, he said, I'll steal it if it's going to provide for my family. And I remember I talked to him and said, look, God's never going to lead you to go against His own Word to provide for you. He said, he's like, well, God wants me to provide for my family, but He's not going to lead you to go against His own Word to do that. Now, that's simple. We know, right? He's like, oh, I see. He didn't get saved that night when I was there. He got on his bed after we left, knelt down beside his bed, and trusted Christ as his Savior. I remember he come to church, and it was something else. He went back with me on visitation. He's one of them guys, he couldn't keep his shirt tail tucked in if his life depended on it. Amen. But he had a love for God. But he, like a lot of people, had some things in his heart and mind about how, hey, I'll do this because that'll be right. I said, look, Dr. Bob Jones, you say this, it's never right to do wrong in order to get a chance to do right. You cannot go against clearly taught Scripture. Well, God's leading me to go rob that bank. No, He's not. That's a lie from the devil. God's leading me to leave my spouse to go for something. That's not true. Now, you'd be surprised at the stuff I've heard as a preacher. Well, you know, God's leading me. No, He's not. God does not go against. Don't get mad at me. Y'all look at me like y'all mad now. Don't get mad at me. I didn't say it. I read the Scripture. I'm like, wait a minute. The Scripture's teaching me something different. My flesh wants to punch him in the nose, but the Scripture says to be kind. My flesh tells me to bless him out, but the Scripture tells me not to do that. My flesh tells me, the world tells me, my culture tells me, I'm from West Virginia, even what I've been taught in my state tells me, but God's Word tells me something different. The voice of God, it's always consistent with His Word. It is usually, according to the Word of God, quiet. You know, we've got a lot of clamor and loudness in the world. Cymbals, ting, ting. Bible says it. If you have not love, you're like a tingling cymbal. One cymbal in a song is about all you can handle. You watch a marching band, that guy's just down there, he's, because if he does it too many times, that's going to ruin that song. It's not a beautiful sound. Sometimes it's needed. But let me say this. His voice, he speaks to our heart through the Holy Spirit. It's a quiet voice. The Bible even speaks of his voice being like, and I'm going to talk about his voice in just a moment, a little bit more detail, a still, small voice. I don't misunderstand me. I'm like, I got enough, I don't know, country in me. I like shouting churches. I like praising God. It makes me nervous if nobody ever says amen. I'll be truthful with you about it personally. But I've learned something about that. Where God's really dealt with me the most in my life was in a very quiet way. Driving down the road, sitting in my study, sitting behind in a room that's nobody around, going to after the family leaves, being at a graveside and praying for a family. That's when the Lord spoke to my heart the most in my life. In fact, many times when I'm broke or maybe have a tear in my eye, it seems like that's when God speaks the most. He also speaks clearly. Let me make sure you understand something, church, this morning. It is not a muddy picture with God. If it's muddy, it's either you, the world, or the devil. God speaks clearly. It's not, No, that's not the way God works. It is clear. Now, how does the Lord get our attention? Sometimes he uses restlessness. Sometimes he may gently whisper. Sometimes God, hey, we don't always listen. Why do we not listen? Sometimes we don't think God speaks today. We say, well, Lord, he still speaks through his word. We don't always listen because we might be afraid of what he will say. You know, a lot of times people don't want to go to church. It isn't that they don't like church. It isn't they don't like the preacher. They really are afraid of what God may say. We don't want to hear because we're afraid of what it may mean to us. We don't want to really listen sometimes because we're afraid of what we may hear. We don't always listen to the voice of God because sometimes we have a rebellious spirit or we're angry with God. You ever notice when you're angry how hard it is to listen? You're so angry that you cannot get past your anger to listen. If you have a rebellious spirit, you can sit in church all of your life and still not hear the clear message. Oh, you're hearing things. You'll go out and, you know, somebody contacted me about some folks running down the church people running down this road. I said, well, that's all you're getting out of it. But that's not what the message is. That's what people are hearing. I remember several years ago, I preached on something and somebody came at the back door and they kind of reworded my sermon back to me. And I remember thinking, God in heaven, that is not what you put on my heart nor what I preached. But that's what they heard. We have to be very careful this morning. And when we don't listen, there's some consequences. One, we don't receive God's guidance. Two, we'll listen to the wrong voices. You know, we're listening to, even in our churches today, we're listening to the voices of Hollywood. We're listening to the voices of politicians. We're listening to the voice of academia. We're listening to Madison Avenue. We're listening to whatever it is that's out there. We're listening to that instead of listening to the voice of God. Now, I don't know about you all, but there's certain voices that I'm going to listen to, and there's certain voices that I'm not going to listen to. In my whole life, well, I'm not listening to them. I'm not. If an atheist starts a blog, I'm not listening to what they have to say. I'm like, well, you know, I'll try to be kind, but I'm not going to let that happen. I'm going to listen to the voice of God. But you know, many times we don't listen to the voice of God. Many of us would rather hear listen to the voice that's in our own mind. And you better make sure it's you. It's not you, and it's God that you're listening to. And others will suffer when we don't listen to God. You know, the nation of Israel listened to the wrong voices. That's what Ezekiel's talking about. All the way through history, you'll see that when we listen to the other voices, by there's always a voice out there, isn't there? We'll go the wrong direction. Now, I want to share the last thing today. What it is not, what it is. And then why is this so important? Why would your pastor preach on the voice of God? Or hearing the voice of God? I want our children, this is the time of year that our kids are going back to college. Y'all pray for some of us that look a little scared this morning. We're starting school back tomorrow. We want our kids to be educated. We spend our lives, money, toil, and effort. We want all that. But let me say what we really need, and there's nothing wrong with education. You get the wisdom of somebody's experience in a certain subject, and you learn, that's great. And I'm all for that. I've spent my life doing that. But the most important voice that our children and college and adults and whoever can hear is the voice of God. That's the voice that we need to hear. That's the message. That's the intelligence. That's what we need more than anything else we can have. You can read after whoever you want to read after. That's wonderful. I commend that to you. But you have to make sure you hear the voice of God. Well, why? Why is the voice of God so important? Why, preacher, would you make such a big deal about the voice of God? I'm going to share with you some things this morning about the voice of God that I think the Bible clearly teaches us about His voice. Real quickly. Everybody ready? Number one, our Savior's voice is a powerful voice. It's a powerful voice. There's no voice like the voice of God. In fact, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 15, His voice as the sound of many waters. Now, I'm not exactly sure what that means, but let me say this. When God speaks, you're not going to thumb your nose. You're not going to make fun. You're not going to make light. You're not going to be able to just... You ever heard something so loud that you just can't ignore it because it's so loud? I shared a few... You know, this summer it seems like we've had some torrential storms that have landed right over the community of Athens where we live. And I'm not one that has ever been really afraid of thunder and lightning, but I know one day I wasn't really expecting it, and it was just a thunder clap. Anybody ever heard a loud thunder clap? You know what I'm talking about? That thing just went boom, baby. I mean, that thing was out. And it shook me. I was like, whoa. And I'm not one of these, you know, jump every time something goes boo. I'm not like that. But that one shook me. Let me say something to you. When God wants to speak, and when God's voice, look, we act like God's just some, you know, something we've got in our mind, some imagination that He is not God. Let me tell you, every time you see a storm, every time you hear about these things, I know we studied Jonah on Wednesday night, and they were talking about those storms that were coming up. Some of those storms would exceed, they said, what we would to measure today as a Category 5 hurricane. That was not just some small thing. That, hey, listen, the voice of God is a powerful voice. Secondly, it's a convicting voice. Listen to this verse in Acts chapter 9, verse 4. Y'all remember a man by the name of Saul? He ends up becoming, oh, I don't know if you've heard of him, the Apostle Paul. How did that begin? How did this man that turned the world upside down, that God used to really spread the gospel into where our ancestors, many of them, can go back in their heritage where they're from? How did that go to the heathens and the barbarians? How did the gospel get out? Well, God uses a man by the name of Saul that turns in to Paul. And the Bible says this. This is how he began. How did it begin? How did this take place? How did this man, in fact, outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can make, I think, the easy claim, there's never been a man that did more for the cause of Christ than the Apostle Paul. Listen to this. Acts chapter 9, verse 4. Heard a voice. You hear what I said? Heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? I want you to get the picture, church, this morning. Here's Saul. Remember he was standing there when they were stoning Stephen? He saw that. And the Bible says he breathing out threatenings and Saul. He went out. He was making havoc of the church. That word literally means like a hog rooting up the ground. He was the enemy of the church. And the Lord spoke to him and said, Saul, Saul, why are you going against me? Why are you persecuting me? And he said, Lord, God's voice right there, he got under conviction. Have you ever heard the convicting voice of God? I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. You laying there at night, all of a sudden, man, that verse comes back to you. That verse, you get under conviction. Now, if you've never had that, look, it's two-sided, the convicting voice of God. It's pleasant and scary at the same time. You feel like you're going to get a whipping, like it's Almighty God getting your attention, but at the same time, you know that it's right. And Saul, if you read his life, he lived a life where he was in fear and worship of God, but also with the joy and power of God. He said, I pressed toward the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus because he heard the voice of God. It's a convicting voice. We need to hear that voice like we've never. I don't see how people do it. I don't see how you can sit and listen to the songs we've heard this morning and testimonies in this church and the prayers and the Sunday school lessons and the sermons and not get under old-fashioned conviction. I'm talking about where, man, you just are under conviction of your need of God in your life. Number three, the quickening voice. Now, quickening is not a word we use today. It means to make alive. The Bible says in John 11:43, the Lord said, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Now, the old preacher used to say, it's because if he just said, come forth, he'd had everybody up. Amen. But we know that he's crying with a loud voice, and his voice will make alive. Let me tell you something. There's never been a voice like our Savior's voice. It's nothing quite like this morning. Number four, it's an inviting voice. It's an inviting voice. In John chapter 7, verse 37, it says, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. Well, aren't you glad for the invitation of Christ? I'm not talking about coming. We can have a public invitation, but that invitation, I'll say at the end of the service today, the church invitation is closing, but the Lord's invitation is always open. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you. Come to me. It's an inviting. I hear some people say, well, you know, the church was mean, or they were not nice. But that's not God. God wants you to come. 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 I thank God this morning he has an inviting voice. If any man, by the way, I don't care where you've been and what you've done. Sometimes Christians are a little condemning, say, well, you know what they've done. I know what I've done. I know what you've done. But guess what? It doesn't matter what we've done. God says to come if any man will come. I'm glad it ain't just a few. I'm glad it's not just somebody that's lived a perfect life. I'm glad this morning when they get under conviction, they can come. It's a comforting voice. How do y'all remember maybe when you was a child and you got a boo-boo? Or maybe you can't remember, you was a child, but you... And you know, there's something about a comforting voice. Daddy can't really do it as good. Mama, Dad, Papa can't. But something about a mama when they say, it's all right, sweetheart. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I went and saw my mama yesterday, and still to this day, when I hear my mama's voice, it comforts me. It comforts me. I like to pick at her, but it comforts me. I was talking to her. I could still hear, except when she would get up and holler at me and say, school, I didn't like that one. But anyway, but that voice comforted. Let me say something to you. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. You imagine losing your family member, and Jesus comes, looks in at comforting voice, says, rise again. It's going to be okay. You ever went through a rough time, and somebody look at you and say, it's going to be okay. And there's something about that that's, I don't know about you. Sometimes, by the way, you may be the Christian in somebody's life that needs to go to somebody and say, it's going to be all right. That's our Savior. That's the story of Jesus. He has a comforting voice. He has a guiding voice. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Now, I get concerned as a preacher because when I see people and they're going astray, the Bible says they were not of us. They went out from us because they were not of us. Because if you know the shepherd, you'll hear his voice. Amen? They know that. Hey, those sheep know the shepherd's voice. There's a lot of songs written about this. There's a lot. When you read your hymn book, you'll see that those songwriters had a walk and talk with God, and they talked about that shepherd. Hey, I'm glad this morning that we've got a shepherd, and his voice will guide us. Are y'all like me? You need a lot of guidance. You know how many times I said, Lord, I sure need you, God. Lord, I can't even heart. Lord, if you don't help me, Lord, I pray, Lord, I need to see something. God, you need to help me. And I pray. I said, God, you need to guide me and show me. Hey, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. You know why people don't follow? They're not sheep. Don't get mad at me. We got a lot of folks saying they're sheep. We're like, no, that's a goat, not a sheep. Because a sheep follows the voice of the shepherd. And part of the problem we have today is too many people saying they're sheep and they're not sheep. You must become a child of God to hear the shepherd. And then lastly, we'll close. It's a pleading voice. It's a pleading voice. You know, sometimes people will plead with you in this world and they'll maybe do it in a in a sinful way. I've went through like a mall, and have you ever seen those people? And they'll say, "Hey, sir, come over here. We got something for your skin." I'm like, "Man, if you look at me, I need something my skin. I need some other help, but not my skin." And they're trying, they're pleading. "Hey, come over here. We got something to change your life." And they'll plead. And I'm like, "Man, I'm in a hurry. Get out of my face." That's what I'm thinking. They try to plead. You know, that's what commercials do. You see them, and you need this. You know, have you ever seen the commercials? Anybody know the infomercial? Are you sitting on your couch? Are you eating cheese puffs? Do you wish your life is better than it is right now? Well, that's everybody in America. Then you need to buy this. And all of a sudden, you got your credit card out. "Honey, I know I bought us a water hose that inflates and looks like a rubber ducky," or whatever it is, you know. You had to have it. Because at that moment, you heard that pleading voice. Let me say something to you. That's fleshly. And that can be funny, ungodly, can be a lot of things. But the Bible says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, something very serious. Jesus said, "If any man hear my voice," it's a pleading. It's a pleading. Let me say this to you. I really believe this morning, church, as we close, one of the scourges of hell, the Bible tells us when there was weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. The Bible says we're going to be in outer darkness. The Bible says it shall be in torments. I don't think hell is going to be a quiet place. And I think one of the things that is going to be in hell is the sound of a pleading Savior. The sound of a pleading Savior. I remember as a boy, before I got saved, the preacher would say, "Would you please come? Would you please come?" When I got saved as an 8-year-old boy that was having a baptism, and the pastor was baptizing my granddad, and he said, "If you want to come, would you please come? Would you please come?" And it wasn't that preacher. I don't remember all the detail, but I do remember this. I heard the pleading voice of Jesus. Based upon his word, "If any man hear my voice," I'm probably talking to somebody this morning, and you have heard the pleading voice of Christ. And you already know this is true before I ever preached it. There's people that are not here today, and they have said no to that voice. And like children do, they've stuck their fingers in their ears. We could even come to church and say, "I know what you're saying, preacher, but I really don't want to hear this today." In fact, you may be, as we're preaching on Wednesday night, Jonah, and you get in the belly of the ship and you go the exact opposite direction of the voice of God. I wonder this morning, will you hear his voice? Are you listening to the voice of God? Let's all stand with every head bowed and our eyes closed. Heavenly Father, I tried to preach this message